I'm really excited to be here, guys. I'm pretty nervous, but I'm really excited to be able to share with you guys. I'm really honored that Nathan asked me to come up and kind of share my heart a little bit, as well as challenge me to dive deeper into what peace is talked about in the Bible. Let's get into it. So last March, I was actually training for a half marathon at that time, and so I was at that point in the run sequence, whatever, where I was running 6 miles, and I was in Chico that weekend for a buddy's wedding, and so I was running in Bidwell Park. It's an awesome park in Chico. I went to school there, and I was running on this path, and I looked far ahead, and I saw just a big group of people, and as I saw them, I was like, they're going to be in my way. So I was like, all right, well, let's see what happens here. So I run closer. I get closer. I get to like the wall of people that were there, right? And so I'm like, kind of like, excuse me, sorry, can I get through here? And as soon as I get like two or three people in, I hear this gunshot. And I'm like, oh no, what happened? And all of a sudden, I just see everybody take off running. And I'm like, well, what do I do? So I just run. Like, I just go. I just go for it. I just run. And four seconds later, I looked around. Everybody was wearing the same color T-shirt. Everybody had bibs on. And I'm like, this is a 5K. So I did what any normal person did, and I ran that 5K with this group of people. I was the only one not wearing the shirt, but I just went for it. And but there was a split second there when I heard the gunshot, and it was like a cap gun or something now. But my stomach just like turned, my spine was tingly, something just wasn't right, right? And it wasn't until I looked around and saw that it's okay, that there's not gunfire, but that I was all right. It wasn't until then that I realized that I'll be okay, you know, and that I'm actually going to have a good time running with these people. I think that's the same in our lives, too. There are things in all of our lives that cause us to panic. You know, it could be something unexpected that we're faced with in life, or it could be a struggling relationship. It could be a bad grade. It could be a variety of different things that get in our way that kind of prevent us from moving forward and cause us just to feel unease, right? And I think that's where we search for peace. That's where we search for God's peace in our life to push through those difficult circumstances, whatever they might be. There's a need for peace in all of our hearts and all of life's suffering, all of life's trials. There's a need. So I'm excited to talk to you guys about peace. The promise of God's peace through Jesus will be now and not yet. Let me kind of digest that for you guys. The promise of God's peace through Jesus will be now and not yet. We can experience God's peace now as we go through life, through struggling times, through trials, through financial struggles, through a variety of different things. And God can give us his peace for the things that we're going through right now. But peace will come to the culmination of peace will come when we're with God, when we're in the presence of Jesus, and when we're in the presence of God. So that's what I mean by the promise of God's peace through Jesus will be now and not yet. I'll get into that a little more later. But so as I was going through studying the Word, trying to figure out what peace was, I decided that I would look through Old Testament scriptures. So I have a couple of verses here. You guys don't have to look them up. I'm just going to kind of do a flyby of some Old Testament peace scriptures. So Isaiah 9:6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. Zechariah 9:10, he will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Isaiah 53:5, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. So I looked through these scriptures, and it looks like they were expecting Messiah to come and to kind of fix stuff, right? that they were going to come, that the Messiah was going to come, and he was going to create this maybe new government, new authoritative figure. Maybe he was going to ride in on like a valiant steed with armor and a sword and look back at Israel's army and like give some Braveheart speech or something like that, saying we're going to go take back our land and it's going to be awesome, right? We see that his kingdom was going to be great. It was going to be vast. It was going to reach from sea to sea and from river to the ends of the earth. They were expecting this peace that they were going to experience to be here, to be right now, to be him coming and bringing them into something new, something mighty, that would fix their problems maybe, or that they would overthrow some sort of government. But Jesus didn't quite come like that. He came different. He came to bring a different type of peace. He did not come as a military ruler, but as a humble servant, granting a different type of peace than what they were expecting. So where we're going to camp out today is in the end part of Romans 4 and Romans 5. So if you guys want to turn there, we can kind of get into it and figure it out. So we're starting in verse 25 of Romans 4. All right, 25. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. All right, let's stop there. We're going really fast. We were brought into justification from Jesus. All right, what does that mean? Justification is moving from a wrong position to a right position. Justification is God declaring that those who receive Christ to be righteous, based on Christ's righteousness, being imputed onto us for those who receive Christ, for those who believe in Jesus, that Christ had to go through something terrible, something painful, something he didn't deserve, so that we could be right, so that our sins would be cleansed, washed away, and we would be able to move from unrighteousness to righteousness in the sight of God through the lens of Jesus. Let's keep going. Verse 1, Romans 5. Let's do it. Therefore, meaning based on the previous statement, based on Jesus being delivered over to death for our sins and us becoming righteous, or us becoming justified through Jesus. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. We have been justified, all right? We established that. Through faith, through our believing in Jesus, through our believing in what he has done, what he is doing now through him being resurrected and ascending up, sitting at the right hand of God the Father. And I think sometimes we belittle that a little. We don't fully understand. We don't see what that really meant. I think we're so focused on like what we're doing here on earth, whether it's work, school, whatever, that we forget sometimes that we have been giving something that we don't deserve. That this is a little tiny snippet of all of eternity, right? That one day we're not going to be here. Our bank accounts aren't really going to matter. That we're going to be with God. You know, for those who have faith in Jesus, we're going to be with him. We're going to be in his presence. We're going to see all of his glory and all of his majesty. And yet we're still focusing so much on right now. And while it's important to steward your resources and steward the time that God has given you, I don't know. There's so many times in my life that I need to focus on then and not now. And we need to focus on what Jesus has already done and the hope that is going to bring. The hope that has brought. That Natalie talked about last week, that there is a hope that we have that cannot be taken away from us. The hope that we are going to be in heaven one day, we're going to see God, that all sin will be removed. I don't know, I'm really excited for that day. I'm really excited for that day. And that's what I mean by the promise of God's peace through Jesus is not yet. It's not yet here. It's going to be then, it's not now. It's not yet, but it will be. It will be. We need to hold on to that. We need to rest in the hope that what Jesus has done, the hope that this isn't it. We need to rest in that. Let's keep going. Verse 3. Not only so, but we glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. Glory in our sufferings. Or in some versions it says rejoice. All right, how, I don't know about you guys, I'm not too eager to rejoice in the difficult times in life, right? Through the death of family members, through divorce, through relationship, through whatever sin, wherever sin is, right? I'm not eager to rejoice in that. So why should we? Right? Why should we rejoice? Why should we glory in our sufferings? Because God does stuff in us. That as we persevere through life, as we persevere through the difficult times in our lives, that God does stuff in our lives. He molds us. He shapes us. That if we just keep pushing through, if we just throw off all the garbage that the world's telling us, we just keep going, that God will build us. Will build us. He'll build our character. He will build maturity. Like he will, that as he's building us, we should remember that no mistake that we've made in life is wasted, right? Our stupid decisions that we made yesterday are, if we choose to see it, if we choose to see it this way and glory in our sufferings, that it's not wasted, right? That we're being built up through our stupid mistakes. We're learning all sorts of lessons that God may have to teach us. If we can recognize that if we keep pushing forward, we're being built up, and that we have the hope for eternity, maybe our sufferings would look maybe a little easier, I don't know. But we would know that they're not wasted, right? I mean, so one example for me that I was thinking about when I was going through perseverance, character, and hope. I was thinking of, like I said earlier, I ran my first half marathon last May. And as I was running, I was really out of shape. It was pretty hard when I first started. Every week I had my mileage that I was trying to run. And as I was running, my calves felt like they're about to explode. Like my quads were like shaking. But I just kept going forward. I kept focused on the next mile, the next mile, the next mile. And then I was done. As I began to do this, as I began to persevere through each run, certain character traits started developing in me. I started realizing that diet was important, that it actually helped me on my run. I started realizing that recovery was important, getting enough sleep. That was important. I was being built up through this difficult time, through this difficult training process. And eventually, I ran my race, and I finished it, and it was awesome. And now I'm signed up for another race in January, right? And I have hope that I'm going to finish that, because I've seen the work that happened back then, and I have hope for my next race that it will be, you know, brought to completion. But how does that look in other areas of our life? I guess not everybody is a runner that runs for no reason like I do. But I think that the same principle still stands true in all of our suffering. Through relationships, divorce, death, persecution, a variety of different areas where we question God, or we question our suffering or the trials in life, that we need to remember that we have the Prince of Peace, right? That he's walking with us, he's next to us, he's caring for his children, right? I know for me, I've struggled with anxiety a lot of my life. The kind of anxiety that just kind of breaks you down and stops you like right where you're at, and you just can't do anything, you can't think, you just are, right? And I think I've learned most about the character of God through the fear of being anxious, the fear of these false things that are making me scared of life. And I think through that, I learned a couple things. I learned, as God was building me up, I learned a couple things, right? That true peace is really found in the midst of order and chaos and is a matter of perspective, right? So true peace is found in the middle of order and chaos and is a matter of perspective, right? Our peace can't be tested unless we're going through something tough. And we can't see that peace unless we kind of position ourselves in a way in which we can see that peace, where we can experience God actually being next to us. So one example of that that I found in Scripture is the story of Jesus walking on water, which was kind of a weird, it doesn't scream anxiety to me, but as I read through it, it did. So if you guys want to turn with me to Matthew 14, Matthew 14, verse 25. I'm going to assume you guys are there. All right. 25. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come out to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." We notice that as we walk with Jesus, we go through really difficult times in our lives, because it's life, there's sin present. And there's a lot of things in life that cause us fear. In this case, Peter saw Jesus coming out and being like, "What the heck is that?" Right? I mean, I think that's how any normal person would respond, seeing somebody walking on water, right? But we see a lot of scary stuff in our lives. We hear about the shootings in San Bernardino. We hear about ISIS. We hear about terrible things happening in our life. And it scares us. It should scare us. It's scary stuff, right? And that's what Peter was going through. He cried out in fear. He said, "What is that? I don't know what that is. I'm scared," right? But Jesus immediately came to them and said, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." As we go through the scary things in our lives, if we're being called to ministry, if we're being called to talk to a friend about Jesus, if we're, just doing something we're terrified to do, like speaking up here and talking to you guys, we have to remember that Jesus says, "Take courage, don't be afraid." He's with us. He's with us. He cares for his kids. I don't know. I'm so eager to let's keep reading. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Sorry, I'm going back to verse 27. And Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got out of the boat and walked on water and came towards Jesus. If we're saying, "God, if it is you that you're calling me to do this, make it happen," right? If you're calling me to step out and do something that I'm terrified to do, then help me with it, right? We need to be asking God. We need to be asking him, be with us, guide us, take us where we're too terrified to go because I'm scared. And Jesus always says, "Come." Jesus always says, "Come, do things you're afraid to do for my name's sake." Peter got out of the boat and walked on water and came towards Jesus. He stepped out. He was going, right? He was going. But then came Peter's mistake. He looked around. He looked around and saw stuff that was going on. He saw this wind. He saw his environment that was causing him to be afraid. He took his eyes off of Jesus and focused on the world. How often are we looking at the world and letting it penetrate our hearts? It just comes in. If we look around, we're going to find it. I think Jesus wanted Peter to look at him. Just focus on him. Focus on him. Trust that he's going to make him walk on water. Trust I think Jesus wants us to trust that he's going to make something beautiful out of the sin that we've done and all the crap that we've been through in life. If we just focus on him, if we focus that he is a good God, that he is the Prince of Peace, that he loves us and he cares for us. When we start to fall, Jesus sticks out his hand and pulls us up. He's like, no, no, don't look at that. Don't look at the world. Look at me. I'm right here. Let's go. We need to look at Jesus. We need to trust in him. We need to know that he is worthy of trusting in him. I know for me in my life, as God's pulled me out of really difficult situations, whether it be broken relationships or death of a family member, I look back and I see him, he's done stuff in my life. He's shaped me. He's changed me. I don't know. And the only thing I can really do is say, you're God. Like, truly you are the Son of God. Only you could have pulled me out of that. Only you could have helped me see that through the mistakes that I've made, you're good and you're helping me. And I think, I don't know. I think if we choose to focus our eyes on Jesus instead of the scary world around us, instead of the things that the world's telling us to do, I think that would provide peace. That would provoke peace in our hearts. If we choose to shift our perspective to say, God, you're good. This is scary. Help me. When I fall, pick me up. But let's keep going, right? That's what I mean by the promise of God's peace through Jesus will be now. There are things in our lives now that we can do to experience God's peace. That we can pray for it. We can seek him. We can position ourselves in knowing that this is temporary. That one day we'll be with God. But for the time being, let's just trust him. So I don't know what you guys are going through today. I know for me, sometimes the Christmas season can be difficult, can be tough. Life's tough, work's tough. I think I heard finals are coming around for the Simpson students, so that's always stressful. Been there. But I would challenge you guys. I would challenge you guys to trust in the Lord. Trust in the hope that he has already granted us. The hope that we're going to be with him, that one day he's going to wipe away every tear from every eye. There will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. That one day we'll be with him. It'll be awesome, right? Sometimes that's all we can do. That's all we can hold on to. When the storms of life and the wind of life hits, let's just focus on Jesus. He'll take us. He'll carry us. So wherever you're at, that's my challenge to you. Focus on Jesus. Try to see the good. Try to see where he's going to take you in these scary moments that you're terrified to go through. That's it. Let me pray. All right. God, Lord, thank you for the difficult times in life. I know I never say that, but thank you, God. Thank you that you mold our hearts, that you mold our character, that you change us, that you shape us into the people you want us to be. Lord, help us to see that through life, you offer peace, that you are the Prince of Peace. God, that you love us, you care for us, that you're walking with us, even when we don't think you are, God. Lord, I thank you for what you have done, for what you've done on the cross, God, that you have secured our spot in heaven, God, that one day that we'll be able to be with you and that there'll be no more crying, no more pain, no more suffering, Lord. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Lord, we love you. We praise you. For you are a good God. Thank you for taking care of us. Thank you for walking with us when we don't think you are, God. In your beautiful name we pray. Amen.